I know that some of us are young enough to remember and can appreciate the many great sports teams that have come and gone throughout the decades. If you can think back to, or maybe you have heard, of the New York Yankees of the Major Baseball League. They are believed to be the greatest team in the greatest city in the world. This team has had some of the greatest players in baseball history, from Babe Ruth to Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Reggie Jackson. Nowadays, you have the Derek Jeters, and there's many others that have played for them throughout the decades. Now, the New York Yankees, that franchise or organization has been able to accomplish 27 championships within that league, which is pretty good. Now, when you think of the National Basketball Association or the NBA, you may think of two great teams that may come to mind. You may think of the Boston Celtics or the Los Angeles Lakers. These two teams have had some of the best players and coaches of all times inside the NBA. And you may be familiar with names like Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, both the Celtics and the Lakers are two of the most storied franchises in the NBA, and they have a rivalry between one another. The Boston Celtics have won, well, they have met each other in the championships a total of 12 times, which is more than any other teams. The Celtics have a total of 17 championships won, and the Lakers have a total of 16. So those two franchises, I would definitely consider them to be two good or great teams. Now, how about the National Football League? Of course, we've had some very good teams come from there as well, the NFL. Can some of us remember the 1972 Miami Dolphins? Some say that this wasn't just the greatest Miami Dolphins team ever, but they're the greatest football team to ever play. They had a lot of Hall of Famers on that team as well, and their coach was Don Shula, a Hall of Fame coach. Now, they remain the only group in NFL to go through the regular season and the playoffs and not lose. They went undefeated, and several teams have tried and come close, but no team has ever matched that feat in over four decades and counting. Now, great teams are not limited only to men. There have been many great women's sports teams as well. Great teams such as the United States women's soccer team. They've been one of the top programs in the world, winning Olympic gold medals back in 1996, 2004, 2008, 2012. But their most talented roster was the team that they had back in 1991. They won the inaugural Women's World Cup in China. Some of us may remember that team. It's a fabulous story. Now, I think we kind of get the idea of what a great team may be. Now, let's take that thought and expand it even further. Great teams are not only defined as those who may come together and play sports or in athletics. If we can think back in 1995, a famous athlete by the name of O.J. Simpson was tried on two counts of murder for the deaths of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman. The trial spanned over 11 months from the jury swearing in around November of 1994, and the verdict wasn't announced to October 1995. The case has been described as the most publicized criminal trial in American courts. Now, Simpson was represented by a high-profile defense team. They were so powerful that they gave them the name the Dream Team. They were basically saying, this is the highest-profile team of lawyers that you can put together, and they formed to become a great team. It was led by Robert Shapiro and Johnny Cochran, two of the best attorneys that law has ever produced. And on what may believe to be an open and closed case, they were able to get Mr. Simpson acquitted on the murder charges. Now, there have been hundreds of great teams that have been assembled in many different professions, if you can think. But today, I want to talk to you about the greatest team that is being assembled by God the Father and His Son, Christ. Now, I feel that there are a lot of similarities between athletes, their sports, and the walk that a Christian must have to go to, the walk that we have committed our lives to. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication to be successful at either one. Now, a team, when used in the noun sense, it's defined as a group of players forming one side in a competitive game or sport. When used in the verb or as a verb, it's come together as a team to achieve a common goal. Now, if we can open up our Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. And let's start at verse 12. We will kind of skip around the verses a little bit, but I'll let you know where we're going. Let's start at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And it continues to explain unity and diversity in that one body. Now let's drop down to verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Let's drop to verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And it continues to go. Let's see, verse 30. So, yeah, we'll stop there. But as you can see, that it's no mistake that we are here on this great team, and God has individually placed all of us here. God has assembled us together and given us all different jobs and talents that he needs to bring us to victory. He's put some as apostles, some as teachers. So inside of our team, inside of our group, we do have Magic Johnsons and we have Larry Birds, but we're in a different facet. We're on the team of God, and he will bring us to victory. So we've been called by God the Father to be a part of his family, his winning team, and this should give us a sense of joy, a sense of purpose in this side of life. Truly, we should be walking around feeling just as like the athletes that we mentioned earlier. They have a sense of pride in their profession that they played. They have a sense of pride of themselves and how hard they were able to work and dedicate themselves to their craft. We, as God's team, should have that same zeal, that same joy, and that same pride in what we were called to do, the team that we were called to be a part of. Remember, Jesus said, "For many are called, but few are chosen," in Matthew chapter 22. God must first call or invite us to enter into a relationship with us. He does this by opening our minds to the basic understanding of Scripture, and then we get the understanding that we need him and need to repent and change our lives. During our Christian life, God is our spiritual coach, and he teaches us the lessons that he wants us to learn while we are here. This is very similar to the relationship between a coach and an athlete. Now, let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and look at a scripture. Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So we see here, from the beginning of time, God has been assembling the greatest team ever, and it is continuing today. Now, being a member of God's team, it will get you more than money. It will get you more than fame, more notoriety than any person that we consider to have fame on this side of life. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, comparing the Christian struggle to one of a well-conditioned athlete that was competing for a prize. Now, let's take a look and see what he says. Our last scripture here, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll start at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So the ancient Olympians raced for the glory of Zeus to win a perishable crown of olive branches. Back then, there weren't gold medals or silver medals. They were competing for different things, really just to please man and to please this false god that they were worshiping at the time. But us as Christians, we run our race to glorify God and to receive the imperishable crown, which is the gift of eternal life. Paul was not telling the Corinthians that they can earn salvation, but they should run the race with all their might and with all their heart, and they should run this race for the glory of God. To conclude, we must understand and know that we are a part of the greatest team that has ever been assembled. We should be proud and have confidence because the person that is the head of our team is undefeated, never lost, will never lose, and will be here forever. During this time, let us continue to examine ourselves, to pray that God increases the Holy Spirit within us, that we may run this race and run it to the end. And being a part of a team, we must realize we have teammates. So let us pray for one another, strengthen and encourage one another as well, as we are all trying to stay on this best team that has ever been assembled. Thank you.